Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, we jump into hour number two on a Tuesday. Thanks so much for joining us. And, boy, again, thanks to Bill Shake and some incredible stuff regarding the players' union, the owners, the way he sees it, and just his thoughts on the designated hitter as well. You know, growing up in San Diego, watching National League ball, and of course, watched the Angels for years with the DH, but, you know, watching National League ball, you know, I could deal with the DH for 1 year, but I know they're pushing to get the DH permanently in Major League Baseball in both leagues, so we'll see where that goes. But I have a feeling the next collective bargaining agreement. Now, think about this. Tony Clark and Manfred, the owners, they got to get a deal done just to get through this 2020 baseball season. And, boy, Bill Shaken rattled my cage a little bit when he said it could take several weeks for these guys to come to an agreement on this. But then they're going to have to go back to the bargaining table and get a new collective bargaining agreement going forward here for the next couple of years. So, wow, a lot to digest. I'd love to hear from you today. I'm sure a lot of baseball fans out there had to have really enjoyed that interview with Bill Shaken. And I'd like you to give me a call and tell me what your thoughts are on that. And again, for people that may not be aware, the owner's proposal, and it came out yesterday. I don't know why they let that out early. I mean, it kind of puts players and the Players Association in a corner because everything's out publicly before it's ever presented to them. And, again, the players are always going to look bad. But, I mean, we're going through something now that let's hope we never go through again in our lifetime or anyone else's lifetime, this pandemic, the coronavirus. But the owner's proposal, if you missed it, and we talked about it yesterday and we talked about it in the open today, 82-game regular season, 14 playoff teams, 7 in each league. That's up from 10 a year ago, 5 in each league. The universal DH, the roster would expand to 30 players. Now, remember, it was going to go from 25 to 26, but they're going to take it up to 30. There's going to be a 20-man practice squad. And right now, the owners would like a 50-50 revenue split with the players. And again, they're not going to be getting parking, ticket sales, concessions, merchandise sales, ballpark advertising. To me, and I said it yesterday on the show, I think 50% is pretty good. But then you go back to what the players and owners agreed upon, and boy, that was an open-ended agreement when Bill Shaken read the document, that the players would get 50% of the revenue, but that was basically if, you know, I think they played the season and there were fans in the stands. Well, there are not going to be fans in the stands. There may not be fans in the stands the entire year. So now the owners want to go back and say it's 50-50, and the players are saying, hey, wait a minute, you're not going to put a salary cap on us. So we'll find out where this meeting went today. But Bill Shaken, boy, he didn't paint a real great picture that it may take several weeks. So I'd love to hear from you today. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Reminder, tomorrow morning I got a live Twitter chat at 11:15 on our Twitter page at 97.3TheFanSD. You can send your questions in. You can send them in right now. I'll get them up and ready. You know, I was looking, and I shared this in the first hour of the program. Mike Trout, this year, is scheduled to make $37.7 million. That would be prorated, obviously, over 82 ball games. Gerrit Cole, he'd make $18 million. Probably wouldn't even make 18 starts this year. he'd be making over $1 million a start, which really isn't all that surprising. Max Scherzer's due to make 35.9 prorated down. So Max Scherzer would be making about 18. Zach Greinke, 35, 17.5. Strasburg the same at 35. Arenado at 35. Cut that in half. Our man Manny Machado, $32 million. He'd get $16 million for 82 ball games. Wow. Sure wish I was a talented ball player, I can tell you that. I think Braden and I are in the wrong business. Let's get to our topic this segment. And our buddy A.J. Cassavell, talk about a guy that's really given us a yeoman's effort on MLB.com and Padres.com. And once we get back up and running, he'll be our regular 97.3 The Fan's Padre Insider. Does an incredible job, hard-working guy, and a real smart guy. But he went back in time. And, I mean, he had to really go back in time, but he came up with a really cool piece, how the Padres trading Goose Gossage led to their 1998 National League pennant. And, Braden, he really did a lot of legwork on this one.
Yeah, he did. He did do a lot of legwork on this one. It's kind of like a trade that went into another trade that went into another trade that went into another trade that went into a reason why they were successful in 1998. But the first one is, signing Goose Gossage as a free agent in 1984. Obviously, Goose Gossage had an impact in that season for the Padres that went to the NLCS and then ultimately the World Series. Goose Gossage posted a 2.90 ERA over 102 and a third innings, finishing fifth in the NL Cy Young Award voting. And the Padres captured the NL crown with Gossage on the mound as he pitched two scoreless frames to close out the winner-take-all NLCS Game 5. Fast forward 4 years in advance, Padres end up trading Goose Gossage and Ray Hayward to the Cubs for Keith Moreland and Mike Brumley. 4 years later, the Padres' window for contention in the NL West had closed. They remained competitive in 85, and Gossage authored one of the best seasons of his career, but he slumped in 86 and 87. Padres had to part ways with them. Instead, they brought in Keith Moreland and Mike Brumley, and you're like, well, what does that have to do with anything? Fast forward to 1989, Padres trade Mike Brumley to the Tigers for Luis Salazar, which turned into, in 1989, a trade that sent Luis Salazar and Marvel Wynn to the Chicago Cubs for Darren Jackson, Calvin Schiraldi, and a player to be named later. That player would become Phil Stevenson. In 1993, the Padres would then trade Darren Jackson to the Blue Jays for Derek Bell and Stoney Briggs, which leads us to the ultimate trade that really put the Padres over the top. On December 28, 1994, Padres traded Derek Bell, Doug Brakhale, Ricky Gutierrez, Phil Plantier, Craig Shipley, to the Houston Astros for Ken Caminiti, Steve Finley, Andujar Cedeño, Robert Pettingen, and Brian Williams, and a player to be named later, which becomes Sean Fesch. But you got Ken Caminiti and Steve Finley. Of course, those were two big impact players for the Padres during the 90s, including the 1998 campaign and World Series. That's how Goose Gossage got turned into Ken Caminiti and Steve Finley. A big conversation piece is, like, we've always talked about all these trades that the Padres have had in their history. And if you start going through it, I mean, it's hard to, because, you know, you always think, bring up the facts, like, well, what if we had Gary Sheffield added to this team if we never got rid of him? Well, if you kept Gary Sheffield, you wouldn't have Trevor Hoffman. And the same thing goes with a lot of different cases when you start talking about, like, Anthony Rizzo being dealt to the Cubs, and you bring in Andrew Kashner, and all of a sudden those pieces get traded for somebody else and what have you. So it's very interesting to see how some of these trades work. And later on in the show, we're going to talk about a future star that the Padres let get away. There's been a handful of those in Padres history, but there's one in particular that you'll even – a lot of Padres fans know about this guy, but some don't even realize was a Padres farmhand for a long time, and we'll get to that later. Plus, a lot of other future stars that left a lot of other Major League Baseball teams that we'll dive into as well, because it's not just the Padres that let some guys get away sometimes. There's a lot of other teams that fall victim to this as well.
Hey, Braden, I'll mention a couple of names, ran off there. Luis Salazar in that Game 5 in 1984 came in late in the ball game and played the outfield. He ended up hitting a triple in that ball game. Watched him do that the other day. He actually had, I think, three different tours of duty with the San Diego Padres. A good, hard-nosed, old-school baseball guy. Could play third, could play the outfield, swing the bat a little bit, could run a little bit until he broke an ankle once upon a time back in the minor leagues. And Phil Stevenson Stephenson. Phil Stephenson played just briefly in the big leagues with the Padres, but Phil Stephenson was actually the college baseball player of the year for his brother, Gene Stephenson, of Wichita State. And I'll tell you a funny story about Phil Stephenson. The National Baseball Coaches Convention was in town. This is many years ago. This is right like in maybe 2005, 2006. And I was at the that Sky Bar right across from Petco. And Mike Gustafson, who's the head of the College Baseball Hall of Fame down in Lubbock, Texas, is a former player of mine. He's the director and president of the College Baseball Hall of Fame. And so we were there, and Phil Stephenson was there. He was coaching junior college baseball in Kansas. And Phil Stephenson, you know, played for the Padres. And, you know, he never gets Diego, and he goes, man, I'd really like to go to Petco Park. I go, it's a Sunday night about 10 o'clock. And I go, you know what, Phil, let's go over to the ballpark, see if we can get in. I went down the street there and knocked on the security guard, and one of the guys in there knew me, and he let us go in, let us walk around, and I got to show Phil Stephenson Petco Park at like 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. And he always was thought that was really cool, but that was the only, and then I had dinner with him the next night, and that's the only time I've ever seen Phil Stephenson. But he was a good guy, but really wanted to get in a chance to see Petco Park. Kind of a funny story. You know, the other thing that I was going to bring up, and I meant to bring it up yesterday, in that game that was on television, and again, there were three Padre games at 12, 3, and 7 on the MLB Network honoring Tony over the weekend. But the game the Wednesday night game against the Giants, the Padres ended up winning 11-10 in 12 innings. By the way, you mentioned Pedro Martinez. He had a bases loaded suicide bunt to win that ball game, believe it or not. But in that game, Trevor Hoffman came in and pitched. And I don't know how many people that watched that game the other day. Trevor was not wearing back in 1993. He was not wearing number 51. He was actually wearing number 34 in that ball game. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I remember early on he didn't wear 51, but eventually, you know, he made that famous number here in San Diego and went on to the Baseball Hall of Fame. But when Trevor Hoffman first got traded here, people were on him, and they were on the general manager, Randy Smith, at that time. They thought it was an awful trade with the Miami Marlins, but it worked out very well for our San Diego Padres. But that's interesting because, man, there are a lot of players you mentioned, and AJ, he had a lot of work to do on that one.
I've done that before, where I started breaking down some of the trades and going into another trade and like how players got flipped into other players, and it's just so much work, and you have no you really have no idea like all like the inner workings of how some of these players end up on your team and actually what you you know, ultimately gave up to get some of those guys on the roster by flipping some guys for other team you know, for other players that you turned into you know, trades for other pieces and well as well. So that's a big research project for AJ Cassaville, and hats off to AJ, good friend of the show, good friend of ours, out there creating great content for these last 9 weeks. I mean, it's been we've had multiple AJ Cassaville pieces on talked about on our show based on all the work that he's been putting in. And, you know, as difficult it is for us to create content, and we're talking about all sports, I mean, he's just focused on the Padres, and he's still making great content each and every day for MLB.com. And we thank AJ Cassaville for all his hard work.
Braden, I'm sitting here as you're talking, and, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I got this on my mind about this player situation. You know, I'm looking at a guy like Tatis, who this year probably makes somewhere, I'm guessing, right around $800,000 if he played the entire year. And the Padres have him under control for this year and four more years before they have to give him a long-term contract. And I'm sure they'll, once they, you know, see him a second year, I'm sure they'll go to work on that. Maybe his agent and his representation, they don't want a long-term contract. They want to see where it goes and see what the market is in two or three or 4 years from now. But I'm thinking about a guy like Tatis. If he were to make prorated, say, 82 games, let's just make it easy, $400,000. You take the taxes out, you know, he's probably making maybe a little over $200,000. And that sounds like a lot of money to a lot of people. But when you're thinking you're going to make, you know, $800,000 and probably keep $500,000, that's a big difference. Those are the guys I feel sorry for, or the guys that – or the marginal players or the young players that are making the $700,000-$800,000, they're the ones that it's going to hurt them probably more than it is a guy that's, you know, making the $35 million and it's cut in half. I mean, I realize everybody has their lifestyle and their country club membership and this and that, but I feel sorry for the fourth outfielders of the world and the utility infielders and the backup catchers. That's who I'd feel bad for in this whole situation.
Well, I know a lot of friends that that are in the cusp. They're right on the cusp of being in the pros. Kind of like that.
Right.
Double
in the
A
big leagues.
The double A, triple A jump right there to the pro to the major leagues. And some of them have had dipped their toe in there, and some of them haven't. But they're right. They're really right there on making a big league club. And a lot of them were during spring training. And those guys aren't making as much as you see the big contracts and what have you. And they're just kind of sitting around. And then you start weighing in the fact that they got to make that taxi squad, otherwise they might just not have a season at all this year. When you're talking about minor leagues, and they're trying to stay into it, they're trying to stay healthy, they're trying to be able to pay their bills and do their thing. I mean, they're already not. Some of them, of course, signed big signing bonuses when they were drafted, but you can't survive on that money forever. And eventually, you're gonna have to start making some money. And when you're not playing, you're not making any money. And those guys are the ones. I think about more. I mean, you could think about the Garrett Coles of the world and the Mike Trouts, and it really doesn't matter to them because they have a lot of money. They have a lot more money coming their way down the road, not only, even with the half of what they're getting or supposed to get compared to, what they're fully going to get at the end of the, their contracts. But you got to think about some of these young guys that and granted, it's probably still a lot more money than you and I are making, and a lot of people listening are making, but it affects a lot of people.
I know it's more than you and I are making.
Yeah, it affects a lot of people, and there's a lot of guys that are trying to survive playing baseball, and especially in the minor leagues. I mean, those guys we hear it all the time about how they're underpaid, and they're severely underpaid compared to what they do. And I usually don't have too much sympathy for that because they get to play a game for cash and what have you. But I mean, it's those are the guys I'm thinking about more than the guys that are making the $30 million a year, because at the end of the day, those are the guys that are going to want to come back more than the guys that are making $30 million a year, and the guys that don't necessarily need to put their health on the line in order to play.
They're not going to be a minor league season. I just can't see it. There's no way you're going to be sending guys down to the South Atlantic League or the Pacific Northwest League or the Texas League, the Southern League. I just don't see it. I think what's going to end up happening, if you're on the San Francisco Giants or the Padres, you're going to go to Arizona. You're going to be at your spring training facility. You're going to work out. You take your ground balls. You're hitting. Pitchers will pitch. You'll have inter-squad games. Maybe at some point you can, venture over to take on the Seattle Mariners if you're the Padres, since they're in the same complex. But I don't see a true minor league season. I mean, I don't think I can't imagine the Lake Elsinore Storm taking the diamond this year up there at the diamond at Lake Elsinore. I just can't see that happening at all, Braden.
Well, it doesn't make sense to have that happen, and I'm for it. No. And an optimist about there's going to be sports coming up. And there will be sports, and I think it's going to be major sports. But if you're thinking about it logically, I mean, if you're thinking, like, let's just say worst case scenario in terms of playing without any fans for the entire season, why would you even waste your time doing that for the minor leagues? I mean, I would imagine you're not making money on TV contracts in the minor leagues. And if you have to pay for them to travel and deal with all this health risk, why don't you just have them play at your spring training facility and they can work the entire summer instead of having to worry about the risks of them traveling on a bus and having to stay in hotels and spending money on all these minor league teams that, at the end of the day, you could probably get it's not the same when you're not playing each other, but you could probably get just as much work out of them being at your spring training facilities and keeping everything kind of close and in a bubble. When they threw out that idea about the bubble for Major League Baseball, it actually makes more sense to have the bubble for Minor League Baseball, and you just have all the minor league clubs stay in Arizona and stay in Florida. Those guys, some of them have families and wives and kids, but the majority of those guys are very young. I mean, they're my age and younger. And, you know, sure, there will be exceptions to the rule, of course, with some older guys, but they're mostly young guys on their own. And that's a good kind of bubble experiment if you want to do one, because you could have the, you know, all the Padres farm affiliates. You have all those fields out there in Arizona, and you can have camp and practice at night and do what you need to do. Maybe do an inter squad against the, you know, the Mariners prospects and maybe a couple nearby, you know, teams that are in the Arizona area. That to me seems more feasible than a minor league season. And again, just like the AHL canceled, I mean, when you're talking about minor leagues, there's not as much money on the line for it to make sense to take the risk in order to make this happen, where major league sports and major collegiate sports have a lot more risk involved in terms of not having a season. So it makes, I don't think a season or a year without minor league baseball and minor league hockey is saying, like, we're not going to have sports. I think it's more of a practical and logical statement to make, as in, you know what, it's probably not going to work in terms of finances anyway. Why risk it?
Too much travel, too much moving around. You need to stay in one place right now. Hey, I want to remind everyone that you can join 97.3 The Fan Friday mornings at 10 a.m. for our virtual game of the week presented by B&B Appliance. Each week, The Fan will stream a simulation of MLB The Show's 20 on our Facebook page at 97.3 The Fan. And thanks to B&B Appliance for bringing baseball back to San Diego. Shop smart, shop local. BnBappliance.com. Padres on a win streak, man. They've won four in a row, beating the Dodgers each of the last two Fridays. So hopefully keep it rolling this week. We'll step aside. We've been talking a lot of baseball. Want to get to your phone calls. I'm sure everyone has an opinion. If you're a baseball fan, if you don't have an opinion, you better check your heartbeat and your pulse. Love to hear from you today. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. When we come back, how about this? The NBA is texting their players to gauge whether or not they want to continue to play the season. We'll talk about that and get to your phone calls next as the John Quintero Show rolls on a Tuesday. Thanks for joining us right here on 97.3 The Fan. At 1:25 on a Tuesday, thanks so much for joining the program. I want to get out to your phone calls. I would imagine if you're a baseball fan, you got to have an opinion one way or the other. Isn't 50-50 pretty fair, splitting between the players and owners without fans in the stands, considering the owners aren't going to have parking, they're not going to have ticket sales, concessions, merchandise sales, can't sell jerseys, baseball memorabilia, ballpark advertising. What's fair? If you're the commissioner or you're Tony Clark, what is fair? And I want to hear it from both sides. You know, I could sit here. I think it's fair. 50-50 to me is fair. And I think also if you end up getting people back to the ballpark and you're getting parking, ticket revenue, concessions, sports memorabilia, you're buying in the Padres store or the Angels store, and you get advertising. I don't know about the advertising in the ballpark. I think the best way for people to advertise would probably be on the radio and television, to be honest with you, at least for the 2020 baseball season. That makes sense to me. You get the message out. You know, you may pay for half of the season, 41 games. But the problem is there's only 41 going to be played in your ballpark, so you're talking about 20, 21 ball games at home this year, if indeed we're able to go in at all. We don't know if we're going to be able to go in at all. But I would expect you to have an opinion on this. One way or the other, whether you're on the player's side or the owner's side, and the players, it sounds like for Bill Shaken, they're going to turn down this proposal of the 82-game schedule and the 50-50 revenue split. So if you were on the negotiating table, how would you go about it? If you're Tony Clark or you're Rob Manfred, you tell me. You play commissioner today. I'm not going to play commissioner because I think 50-50 is fair for both the parties right now. Now, again, if the ballparks are opened up, for half of the season, 20 games, 21 games, then you share in the revenue. But everybody's a little bit different. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I want to get to this. I find this very interesting because I've been watching a lot of ESPN and watching SportsCenter at the top of the hour to see, what moving we have in the different sports. And the NBA has been pretty quiet. But now the NBA is starting to, behind the scenes, do some things. They've been texting players to gauge whether or not they want to continue the season. Now, they better not text LeBron James, because LeBron James, you know what he's going to say. He wants to play. He wants to win that trophy. He wants to win that championship. But Braden, going to be interesting. Like we talked, and we're going to have Kurt Heelan on tomorrow from NBC Sports. We're going to have him on and talk NBA tomorrow. I think it'll be interesting to see what Kurt has to say tomorrow, because I think, and Braden, you and I think are in agreement on this. If the NBA comes back, the NHL comes back, they just need to get to the playoffs. Well, I thought we were going to. Okay. Yeah, well, hey, Braden, I wanted to get your opinion real quick here before we get to the bottom of the hour. Don't you agree with me? And no matter what Adam Silver's doing as far as texting players and having his assistants text players, don't you think if they do come back in the NHL as well, just go to the playoffs?
I think that's going to be the case. Honestly, I don't think they're going to come back. I think at a certain point, they're just going to be like, you know, let's just pack up and get ready for the next year, because, you know, at this rate, it just doesn't. Maybe it's because I'm not, you know, I lost interest in it. I forgot the NBA was even a thing, like, as of, like, the last 4 weeks. And I'm almost losing interest in baseball at this point, too, where I'm at the point where I'm like, you know what, let's just wait till September and see if we can get some football going. But I don't really, the way that they've been operating in the NHL has been kind of quiet. I just don't see them coming back.
Well, we're going to find out about that here, hopefully sooner rather than later. But again, it's day to day. That's all I can say at this point in time. Hey, Braden, we do have Bench the Coach coming up. Let everyone know exactly what we're doing today on Bench the Coach. And again, today we're going to be playing for that Maui chicken meal and fried Oreos from Chicken Charlie's.
It's going to be, Bench the Coach is going to be an NFL question today involving playoff wins for teams, all-time playoff wins.
Okay, very good. Oh, that'll be a good one. Hey, by the way, this hour of the show is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Tired of being tracked online? DuckDuckGo can help. They help millions of people like you take control of their personal information online. With one download, you can search anonymously and block creepy trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. And with that, we're going to head to the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll get to more of your phone calls. And again, we got Bench the Coach coming up here at about 1:50. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coach John Couture, we're headed to 3 o'clock today in the Gwen and Chris program right here on San Diego's number one sports station. Thanks for tuning in to 97.3 The Fan. The time. We got Bench the Coach coming up here at 1:50. And Braden, going to go the NFL route today. So if you'd like to be a participant, have a chance to take me down, call in right now at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We're going to get into why Major League Baseball owner's plan will not get approved here momentarily. But Braden, last segment when I went to you, you were not there, and I wondered what happened to you. Let everyone know exactly what happened in the last segment.
Right, and we even had another guy call in during that time. Ryan, if I missed your phone call, please call back, because I was dealing with an interesting conversation with somebody that called in. He calls in, and I immediately put him in the queue and the system here where I can be able to do it at the same time as, you know, doing everything else. And I go, okay, 97 through the Fan, what's going on? And he just starts just screaming at me about some take that we had and how it's BS and we're spewing propaganda and it was the worst take he's ever heard. And he's like, and then he starts going into how he's an epidemiologist and like he's done through all his school and like all this other doctor stuff. And then he starts saying, he's like, I've heard better takes from my C+ students in high school that I used to teach that didn't know crap about anything. And I'm just like, what is this guy talking about? I was about ready to just like unload so much built up like stress and anger that I've had over the last 9 weeks on this guy for just like, I'm like, what is he? I'm sitting there going, is he thinking about what we're talking about with minor league players? Or I was like, we haven't said anything on this show, period, about like what people should be doing and how like we're being led the wrong way and whatever. I think we've done a pretty good job of keeping our opinions to a minimum to a certain extent. I'm sitting there trying to think back, and as I'm doing that before, because he's still like just spewing garbage the entire time, and I have no, I'm just like I'm almost tuning him out, and then he's like. And then he goes, yeah, and tell Doug Gottlieb. And I'm like, Doug Gottlieb? What? I was like, are you calling the right show? And I said, whoa, so let me slow you down right now. What show exactly are you calling? And he says, it's the Doug Gottlieb show. I'm like, no, it's not. This is the John Contero. Where are you calling from? And he's like, Vegas. And I'm like, it's not even like, you're not even like in the city of San Diego. And then he quickly starts, I was like, dude, that's not our show. We're not even talking about that. Like, I don't know what your deal is. And he felt so bad and started apologizing like for like 5 minutes, during that entire segment. I missed that entire segment listening to this guy. And then he talked about how he loves San Diego and, he spent time in California going to school. It sounded like he's been at like almost every university ever. And then he said, what did he say? He said he was a big Ricky Henderson fan for the majority of his life, and apparently he got to see the last series here at Qualcomm Stadium for Ricky Henderson and Tony Gwynn's final game, and he was so fired up about that and said it was a memorable experience and how much he loves San Diego, and when this is over, he wants to come back and visit San Diego. And I said, you know what, sir? Thank you for apologizing, because I was about to unleash hell on you in a matter of moments. And he said, you know what? I would have deserved it. I said, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I thought somebody captured you or something. I went there in a little bit of dead air, but hey, you know what? You're doing a variety of different things back there and hearing from all the callers. And by the way, we need someone to call in if they want to try to win the Maui Chicken Meal and Fried Oreos, courtesy of our buddy at Chicken Charlie's. We got Bench the Coach coming up. Give us a call right now. Get into the rotation at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We're going to get to that Major League Baseball owner's plan and why it won't get approved by Major League Baseball Players Association in a minute. But let's get out to Dave in Eastlake. Dave, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for the call. What do you got going today?
I'm just in the middle of my Amazon delivery route right now, pulling about 150 pounds at the moment.
Wow, well, use your legs.
I am. So about this this negotiation going on, I really think that the owners are cherry-picking this situation, and I think that the players' union should take this as an opportunity to lay the groundwork for future years by actually saying, okay, so if you want us to take a 50-50 split now, you guys are going to have to open up your books and do that for the foreseeable future, because – these owners are making enough money as it is, and if they're willing to do this right now, why couldn't they do it later?
Well, first of all, Dave, I don't think the owners are going to open up their books. They've never opened up the books to the Players Association, and I don't think they're going to start now.
Oh, I agree with you, and I think that that's just something to kind of throw in their face and say, hey, you know what, you guys aren't going to act in good faith as it is, and now when, you know, the chips are down, you guys want to start cherry picking at, you know, our salary. So hey, either you guys want to do this for life and just open up your books, or let's just stay with the original plan.
Well, Dave, let me ask you this. You know, I'm going to play a owner. If I have no money coming in other than TV money, and I'm the Miami Marlins, I'm going to lose a lot of money this year paying my players, even though they don't have any real high-priced players down there, because all my money's going out, and other than the TV money, I don't have any money coming in except maybe, you know, what the fans will buy off the internet, buy jerseys and caps and stuff like that. I mean, they're missing out on a ton of revenue.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, and I can empathize with both sides, but like I said, I mean, you got to give some and take some if you're going to take some as well. And I think that they're really just, you know, if they're willing to take it on the chin for future years, they should be able to take, you know, they should take it now as well.
Well, I think some of the team, it's not going to matter. I mean, the Dodgers, not going to matter. Definitely the Yankees, Boston. I know Boston's had some financial issues. That's why they peddled some of their players, namely Mookie Betts. The Chicago Cubs, I hear, once this roster freeze is over, they want to peddle some players. Probably Chris Bryant will be a former Cub. Hey, Dave, be safe out there, and make sure you're using those legs when you're lifting those big packages, my friend. And thanks so much for the call.
You got it, Coach. Thank you.
All right. Interesting take. Definitely siding with the players. What's the next person have to say? 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Braden, we got time. Let's get to this right now because I think we can't talk enough about this right now because it sounds like from Bill Shaken of the L.A. Times, who joined us in hour number one, this is going to be ongoing. He doesn't see a settlement for several weeks, and I'm having a hard time believing several weeks because we're sitting in May. I mean, today's May 12th, and they're talking about, you know, getting spring training going, you know, hopefully in the middle of June, then get the regular season underway early July. We'll see if that time frame actually works out. And, you know, there's no time. We may not even have a season, okay? But you got to do everything in the positive, hoping there is going to be a baseball season. But why the MLB owner's plan will not get approved, and you can go through all the different scenarios, and then we'll talk a little bit about it.
I don't think it's going to get approved. Oh, it's not this plan in general is not going to get approved. They're probably going to go and negotiate and throw a couple of ideas out there and different deals. I've not seen anything in terms of what the meeting was like today. Even if they're still in a meeting, I've not heard anything yet on Twitter or any big news being jumped out there about them declining the offer yet or a counter offer either. And I think a counter offer is coming. And honestly, Coach, I mean, I'm sure you've negotiated for cars and houses and all sorts of things throughout your entire life. What do you throw out there first? You throw out there an outlandish idea that you think maybe if they say yes, we can get a lot out of it, but we're not expecting them to say yes to this deal. And then you start working down back to a medium ground to make this deal work. In terms of the 50-50 split, I find it very interesting. In terms of revenue, because they don't really, first of all, they have no idea how much money they're going to make. You can throw out numbers, but there's no accurate way of knowing how much revenue they're going to make, because you don't know if you're going to have people in the stands or not, limits of people in the stands, not concessions open, parking, any of that. You have no idea. Here's a quick breakdown that Jeff Passan did and try to do some math here. Because remember yesterday we're talking about, well, what's the ulterior here? How much money do you get if it's 50-50? How much money, do you get if it's, if you already go with the original plan of, whatever the amount of season, number of games you get, prorate your contract and of course, not playing a season at all. The biggest question, of course, was the 50-50 revenue split because we didn't know what the revenue was going to be. According to Forbes, last year in 2019, the revenue was $10.7 billion for Major League Baseball. So that's going to be the kind of the ballpark number that Jeff Passan uses during his kind of his math he does here. Let's use that number. Estimate about 40% of local revenue will vanish without ticket sales. So now you're down to $6.4 billion in terms of revenue for Major League Baseball. Sources have estimated that local television revenue is somewhere between $2.2 billion and $2.5 billion range annually, which, by the way, 50% of local revenue is pooled and shared between all the teams. So that's not going to be that big of a deal. Because teams under this plan would play only half the games, there's half the revenue. So kind of bake it another $1.2 billion cut to your 10.7 that you originally had. With all that coming together, you're down to about $5.2 billion in revenue this year, assuming no fans in the stands, local TV and radio contracts down in terms of revenue across the board. National TV money is estimated at $1.7 billion a year. That's of course, the point of implementing expanded playoffs to try to maintain that money as much as possible. They will lose some of that with the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game being canceled. So that kind of puts you around the range of probably $5 billion in terms of overall revenue. Now, if you do the 50-50 split with the $5 billion, according to the original plan, player salaries for 2020 were estimated somewhere between $4.2 billion and $4.4 billion. So we'll go with the 4.3, kind of a mix between the two. The prorated salary is about 50.6% of the games. So that's around $2.18 billion just distinguished to the players. Half of, say, $4.8 billion would be $2.4 billion. So cause, is it possible to do a 50-50 split? I mean, right now, I mean, best case scenario, if you do a 50-50 split, the players are going to get that 50% reduction that they were already expecting. So if you go with the 50-50 revenue split, that's the max you could potentially make, which I know the players don't want to do because they don't want anything capped in salary. It then goes on to say that part of the deal, it doesn't have anything to say with the fact that if you make more than the 50% pay cut that they've already originally agreed upon, you wouldn't get any additional money if you're the players. So you're basically capped at the most you can make is 50%, or you can make less depending on how much revenue they make. To me, that's not necessarily the greatest of deals if I'm a player, especially since I agreed to already prorated salary that doesn't have to affect based on the revenue. Because the thing is, not only are the players putting themselves on the line, and regardless if they're healthy or not, some of their spouses might have underlying health conditions, some of their relatives, other members of the team in terms of managers and coaches might have underlying health conditions. You just don't know. Plus, there's always, you know, outliers in there that could harm some young player. So they're regardless of what you say about the guys being young and be able to handle it, which, you know, I'm one of those the guys that believes that they can, things might happen. So they're putting their bodies on the line. Not only that, they are getting dinged with the losses in terms of if there's no revenue compared to the owners that are obviously not going to make the $0.7 billion they're expecting. But the fact of the matter is they could still make their money back or make some of their money back in some of the revenue sharing where the players get capped at a certain amount. If I'm the players, I'm not taking an additional pay cut and taking the big loss here for what Major League Baseball has to deal with in terms of a shortened season, because at the end of the day, they don't have a game without us and they kind of hold the leverage there. I'm curious to see what they come back as a counter proposal, because I know they will. It's going to come down to money, but it also is going to come down to some safety hazards as well. I just don't think this original plan is going to be agreed upon. I said it yesterday. I don't think it was going to. I think the money doesn't make sense if you're a player. And I'm talking from if I put myself in that position as a player that's like Mike Trout and a player that's like one of the young guys up and coming, it doesn't make sense for me to make that move in terms of money because I'm putting myself at risk to potentially make less money than I was already guaranteed.
I wonder if we're going to have a baseball season. I just wonder. This is going to go back and forth, but I got to believe there's some owners behind the scenes really thinking it. And we talked with some people the last couple. They said, no, you know, Scott Miller said, no, the owners, you know, they want to play the season. But, you know, if this goes on and on and on, and we'll see what the counter proposal is by the Major League Baseball Player Association, and then we'll see what the owners come back with. But, you know, at some point, the owners may, behind the scenes, just say, you know what, screw it. There are too many obstacles to overcome. We don't want to take a bath financially, even though, you know, they'll still get TV money and they're going to be paying out, you know, 50% of that TV money if that was the deal that eventually was agreed upon. But I'm real anxious to see, because there are a lot of people. This is a very emotional situation right now because of what our country's gone through. And maybe it'd be best, the way some owners see it, maybe it'd be best just to, you know, get through this year. All the players will get service time that they earned a year ago. They'll get that tacked on this year. If you were up for 150 days last year, you'll get 150 days of service time. Guys like Mookie Betts would be a free agent at the end of the year, never playing a day for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm anxious to see how this works. You got Tony Clark, who's a really smart guy, very smart guy. But, again, he's very young in this position. He's been in this position a few times, but this is a very, very tedious negotiation, I think, Braden.
It's very tedious, but here's the problem, Coach. If they don't have a season, it's way worse drastically, not only for the players, but also the owners, to the point where they can't not have a season based on everything that they're all going to potentially lose out on. Because, honestly, the option of the 50-50 split compared to, you know, the 50%, 50% revenue or the 50% prorated salary. You know, that's something that needs to be discussed. But at the end of the day, both the owners and the players know that they cannot not have a season. And when you're talking about the players, they're not going to get paid beyond a lump sum of $170 million negotiated in the March deal, which is a huge issue for so many players who live paycheck to paycheck. They lose a year of playing, an item of immense value for those who understand baseball is a profession with a sport short career span. Free agent market in 2020 is going to be a disaster. Major League Baseball Players Association may dip into savings reserve for an emergency, such as potential work stoppage after current collective bargaining agreement expires after the 2021 season. Agents on whom players lean on for counsel don't receive commissions, and some accordingly are threatened with this type of loss. Owners' revenues are going to shrivel to nothing. Mass firings and furloughs take place. Multiple bankruptcies are possible for teams, either prompting bailouts from MLB or forcing owners to sell. Franchise values, which have skyrocketed in recent years, plummet because the recovery of the financial hole created by a lost 2020 season could take years. I mean, that outcome to me sounds a lot worse than some of these guys taking a taking a pay cut, both owners and players, assuming no fans are in the stands. Because at the end of the day, no fans in the stands is still better than no season at all, because all those things I listed are all possibilities, and that sounds like a worst-case scenario.
Well, all those scenarios are true. There's no question about that. But you've got a lot of egos involved and a lot of power of brokers involved here. We'll see where it goes. I'm real anxious to find out what's going on in that meeting today, because I don't think that meeting's over. They've been going at it for a number of hours now.
Yeah, it's been going back and forth, which I think is pretty good. That means they're probably having a conversation and trying to you know, get some things out of it, and hopefully find a happy medium point where they can make a deal later on this week. Again, sooner the better. I don't think it's going to take 2 weeks because there's too much pressure on both the both organizations to get a deal done, but it's definitely going to take a lot of days and a lot of negotiating over the next handful of days. And you know, Tony Clark's got his work cut out for him, as well as the owners. It should be an interesting next couple of days here. I'm just hoping sooner rather than later they can come to some kind of agreement so we can get baseball back and running.
Okay, Braden, once they get an agreement done, I want you to get Tony Clark's email, and I want you to email him and see if he'll come on the program. And I think he probably will, considering I've known him since he was 17 years of age and used to make an effort whenever he'd come to San Diego. I'd go down, even when he was with the Boston Red Sox, I'd go down and interview him. He's a good guy. And I think, you know, if we could get in contact with him, he'd probably come on once they get this deal done. It'd be kind of fun.
That sounds good, Coach.
I'd love to be, I know Ron Fowler and Peter, so I'd love to have those guys on the air. They're not going to talk right now. You know, I think it's best that neither side do a lot of talking to the media other than just say, hey, we had nice negotiations today and, you know, we're going to move on tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit more. I think, negotiate in the media, I'm not a big fan of. I think even with ball players, Braden, there's way too much information out there. As much as organizations try to, you know, stymie players from talking to the media a whole lot, I still think there's way too much information out there. Hey, we went a little bit long. We're going to get to Bench the Coach in hour number three. This is the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.